Purposes of the recording, while I'm conflicted about many things, I have no conflicts of interest to report. In 2006, the Home Safety Council was awarded funding from the Department of Homeland Security to conduct a number of activities, all designed to strengthen the United States Fire Department services' ability to perform injury prevention activities. And the Home Safety Council partnered with us, the Center for Injury Research and Policy at Johns Hopkins, to conduct a national survey for them. So I'd like to thank and acknowledge the Home Safety Council, notably Mary Kay Oppie, who is their president, and Angela Michelide, who is in the audience. Angela is the Director of Education and Outreach for the Home Safety Council. My colleagues at Hopkins include Dr. Andrea Gielen, who's the Injury Center Director and who headed this activity, Jennifer Piver, who was a doctoral student with us who coordinated the study for us, and Mike Griswold, who is a biostatistician who consulted on the activity for us. We also convened a group of fire service organizations, these 10 organizations listed here, to help us understand the culture of the U.S. Fire Department and to respond to and critique the questions that we had included on the survey that we eventually developed. Injury prevention activities in the fire department go by a different name. Fire and life safety education is the term that the fire department uses, the fire service uses. And they are defined as community fire and injury prevention programs and activities designed to eliminate or reduce situations that endanger lives, property, or the environment. So the purposes of our survey were to, for the first time ever, create a benchmark of current fire and life safety activities in United States fire departments, and then ultimately to identify the needs for training, resources, and other supports to enhance these activities that the Home Safety Council is committed to trying to address. In terms of our survey methods, we purchased a proprietary document, the 2006 Directory of Fire Chiefs, which defined our total population of U.S. fire departments as 21,745 departments. From that, we were then encouraged by our fire service colleagues to first define fire departments by the populations that they serve. So we define small fire departments as those that serve less than or equal to communities totaling 10,000, and large departments as those that serve communities over 10,000. From there, we further stratified by both region, you see the five different regions here, and then also by the type of fire department, volunteer, career, or combination. To maximize the use of resources and the potential to obtain a representative sample with a large enough number of respondents in each of the cells of that 2x5x3 table, we selected fire departments in proportion to the total number of fire departments in each particular cell. So when cell sizes were less than 100, we sampled 100% of those. When cell sizes were between 1 and 500, we sampled 50% randomly. And then for cell sizes between 500 and 1,000, we randomly selected 25% of those samples. So that gave us a total sample size of 7,408 fire departments that made up the sample of our survey. Those fire departments received through the mail a 35-item survey. 2 weeks later, all of the sample received a postcard reminder to complete the survey, and then 2 weeks after that, non-respondents were contacted by phone to encourage them to complete the survey. And I'll talk about our national estimates, our weighted national estimates. So the responses were weighted proportionally so that our responses could accurately represent national estimates. The focus of this talk from here on out is going to be on those national estimates, but we do also have results available by department type and region, and the entire report is available on the Home Safety Council's website, which is homesafetycouncil.org, and I believe there's information that will circulate around, a little postcard that Angela has provided with information about the Home Safety Council and other resources. So in total, we received 1,523 completed surveys for an overall response rate of about 21%. And most respondents described themselves as the fire chief, who on average had about 25 years in the fire service, with 8 of those in the position as fire chief. If you will pardon the pun, the burning questions that the survey wanted to address was to get a handle on who is doing fire and life safety within the fire service, what types of activities are they performing, how fire departments perceive fire and life safety education, and what are the barriers and facilitators that they face. So nationally, we learned that 86% of fire departments conduct fire and life safety activities. Most typically, uniform personnel with multiple responsibilities conduct these activities. You see here about 56% of respondents fall into that category. Non-uniform personnel, again, with multiple responsibilities, were reported by about 21% of respondents. And less frequently reported were personnel, either uniformed or non-uniformed personnel, who had an exclusive assignment to fire and life safety activities. In terms of the types of fire activities that are available, generally we gave these listings as the options that individuals who completed the survey could tick off: elementary school presentations, fire safety week or month events, older adult presentations, general health and safety fairs, programs directed at juvenile fire setters, sweeps or door-to-door canvassing — that's where fire personnel go to a particular neighborhood and knock door-to-door to determine if there are working smoke alarms in the home — child passenger safety services, which include things like car seat checks. The following initials stand for Learn Not to Burn and Risk Watch, two formalized curricula that are available. If you advance one more, we'll get our results. And we see that overwhelmingly, of those that are doing fire and life safety, they're really directed at elementary school activities and general kinds of fire and safety week or month events. Less frequently, fire departments are involved in using these standardized curricula that are available. The next slide will show you that we also were interested in trying to determine the content around these activities that fire departments were involved in. So if you want to advance one more time. Generally, it makes sense that the fire departments are going to feel most comfortable with those things that are directly related to fire and burn kinds of issues. So we see an overwhelming majority of activities directed at fire prevention, fire escape planning, smoke alarms, etc. Less frequently do we see reports of fire departments being involved in things like home sprinkler systems, public health emergency, or disaster preparedness activities. We were also interested in trying to find out, beyond education, if fire departments are actually making products or services available to the communities. We asked them to identify if they either distributed and or installed a variety of products. And again, just over half of the fire departments that were involved in fire and life safety reported distributing and or installing conventional smoke alarms. Lithium battery smoke alarms, which the Centers for Disease Control identifies as best practice, is only reported by about 1 in 5 fire departments. We were also interested in, again, looking beyond information and education, but seeing if fire departments were involved in policy. And so we asked about their advocacy efforts that were defined as being involved in any type of legislation, ordinance, or regulations at the local, state, or national level. And 39% nationally, fire departments are involved in advocacy in one way or another. We also asked them to then identify the content around which they are advocating. And again, overwhelmingly, 85% of fire departments are involved in smoke alarm advocacy. Many, many fewer, 14%, are involved in things like pushing fire-safe cigarettes. As researchers and folks at Hopkins, we live by evaluation, so we wanted to get a sense of if fire departments are evaluating their activities. And again, about half of fire departments report doing evaluation generally. We then asked them to be more specific, and you see that, unfortunately, most fire departments are involved in informal types of feedback. About 78% of fire departments that do evaluate their activities report being involved or using informal types of activities. You can advance. Yeah, thank you. And only about 20%, again, 1 in 5 fire departments, are using injury statistics or loss data to evaluate the impact that they're having. Only 12% involved in pre- and post-testing their audiences as a result of the education that they're doing. How is fire and life safety perceived in the fire department was another area that we were interested in trying to get a handle on and thought it would be important as this benchmarking process took place. So we asked, how is fire and life safety positioned within the mission of the fire department? and 40% of respondents identified it as either important or critical. Now, this gets a little bit at your psychology to determine if you're happy with this. On one hand, that's great. 40% of fire departments think this is critical or important to the mission, but that means that 60% think something otherwise. So clearly there's room for growth. We also then calculated their satisfaction with the fire and life safety activities that they were doing within their own fire department, and the mean score there was 52%. Again, probably not the best question, because satisfaction, they could be doing a bad job, but they're okay with that, so they're satisfied. They could be doing, you know, a moderate job, but they still want to improve. So an important lesson for us to think about in the next survey to assess that area a little bit better. In terms of facilitators and barriers, again, we wanted help because the Home Safety Council is dedicated to partnering with the fire department to improve the activities that they're doing, so it's helpful to know from that audience's perspective what their issues are. The most helpful ideas in terms of responses we got back were access to free safety products, free community education materials, and information about funding fire and life safety activities. And then the barriers that were reported were, you know, the Manny, Moe, and Jack, the Larry and Curly always that come up, funding, time. So not enough funding to do fire and life safety, too many competing priorities in the department, and lack of time to actually do fire and life safety. In conclusion, most fire departments are providing some type of fire and life safety education. Most fire and life safety providers have multiple responsibilities. Presentations and community events are the most frequent activities, and distribution and installation and advocacy are less frequent. So there's a real preponderance of information and education, which is important, but it's not sufficient to address the injury prevention problem. Only 40% of fire departments perceive fire and life safety as important or critical to the mission of the fire department, so there's real growth for leadership within the fire service to really get behind promoting injury prevention as a critical mission to fire and life safety. We believe that communities like public health and injury control professionals should be seeking out partnerships with fire departments and personnel in their area. Fire departments have access to the communities that are of interest to us, and as injury control and public health professionals, we have the expertise. Working together, we can address the issue much better. And in closing, I would just like to thank all of the fire departments and personnel who participated in the survey and remind you again that the entire report is available on the Home Safety Council's website. Thank you.
Let's take questions. Sure. We'll take questions.
Yes. The question related to whether we did anything with our sampling to adjust for non-respondents and to look for bias in response. We did actually look at that, and there's detailed information in the report about how we addressed that. We know that individuals who were from larger fire departments and fire departments that are defined as career departments were more likely to respond to our survey, and they were more likely to be conducting fire and life safety. And in terms of I'm not sure how to.
Well, yeah, if usually what might do would be to go after a small subset of the non-respondents and actually interview them on the phone or something to see whether they statistically look different from the respondents.
I'm going to need to call on my colleague, Andrea. Andrea, did Jennifer actually call non-responding fire departments, or did we not have time to do that? I should also add that our survey says nothing about the quality of the fire and life safety activities that the fire departments were involved in. But again, as a benchmarking process, we wanted to just get a handle on who was doing it, what they were doing. There's much more data in the report that talks about budgeting, about the type of training that the personnel that conduct these activities have or don't have, whether they have certification within the fire department to do this type of education or not. So I would encourage you to go to the Home Safety Council's website and learn more about what they're doing to build capacity in the fire department.
Just one more.
The comment/question was acknowledging that volunteer fire departments are different in many ways from career and combination departments, and whether the Home Safety Council recognizes that and is making resources available to fire departments in different ways. Our Home Safety Council representative is in the audience, so I will defer to her to respond to that question.